last night on the program, I touched on the concept that, you know, we're talking about the dairy farmers at the moment and how they're doing it tough with milk prices. Well, once upon a time, dairy farms used to have a supplemental income, and that was vealers. So the male calves that couldn't go on to produce milk would be sold off for meat. Now, that seems to have been a practice that has gone by the wayside. So I thought, well, I've got to find out why this is. Well, I've tracked down a company in Western Australia that still produces top quality veal on a dairy farm, White Rocks Farm, which dates back to the 1880s. And we're going to talk to the butcher that exclusively sells this, Vince Gareffa from Monto Meats. Vince, I knew you were the guy I needed to talk to when you put me on hold and the music was Italian.
I like a man with style. Well done, mate. Not everybody realises how good that stuff is. It calms you down, and no matter how much I charge you, you're calm and collected.
Vince, as I said, I grew up in an Italian family in Sydney, and when we were kids, yep, veal was on the menu at least once or twice a week. But nowadays, you go into a butcher shop in most places, and you can't find it. Why is that?
It's a bit of history. You know, when we were young, there was always surplus calves on every farm. And it was the way things were. We had lots of families, lots of small farms. And there was no big production. And, of course, it became a byproduct. But as things grew, the first thing that happened is that a lot of people started getting given baby beef instead of real veal as it started to disappear. The moment you end up giving something to multinationals, they start creating a situation where it no longer happens.
Yep.
They weren't interested in raising veal. They were interested in the milk only, let's say, and the byproduct was too much trouble for them to worry about. And so less and less people producing. And we were lucky enough to pick up on how the Europeans liked it and meet one of the most blessed, beautiful families in Western Australia who had such pride in what they did. And they liked the idea of having their eggs in more than one basket. You know, it's one thing to do milk, but when you do milk and you also do calves, it's great. If you do calves, milk, cheese, butter. I don't know anybody that does all those four these days. It's very sad, and Western Australia no longer has any major butter or cheese being produced, but they have got the best veal in Australia, and we actually have to hunt down a fair bit of the calves that we want from others, and they've been disappearing to the point that we probably breed around about 70% of our own now. On purpose, because we just can't buy them at the auctions. There used to be every farmer got rid of their 1 week old or 2 week old very quickly when they knew they couldn't look after them, you know?
Yeah. So what is veal technically? Is there a cut-off period?
Well, I think that veal for an Italian is something that is definitely receiving enough of real milk. Australia would have normally every about May have so many surplus calves that if there was nowhere for them to go and to be grown or they were the wrong breed, they would finish up slaughtering them if they could afford it, and doing it as a byproduct that might even finish up in sausages and small goods.
Okay.
But for me, the best veal has always been around about 4 to 7 months old. So it's actually led a good life, liberal quantities of full-fat cream milk, and liberal quantities of low iron grains. If you don't give them enough grain, you end up having a lot of animals that pass away far too early, because they can't just be fed on milk alone. And that's when the inhumanity comes in.
Yeah.
There's lots of stories that everyone will hear about how calves around the world, especially in Europe, are denied sunshine, are denied grain and roughage, and only fed on milk, and housed in dark quarters. And all of that just to get rid of the iron and the sunshine. And you finish up having lovely white veal, but it's tasteless, Steve, tasteless.
Yeah.
We found that in 7 months we grow a calf without hormones, without chemicals, without antibiotics, and it generally cleans up around about 110 kilos. Our competitors around the world, and we are a drop in the ocean to how big the competitors are America and Holland. They produce a 7 month calf that weighs 250 kilos, but they are still using hormones, and they're still using hormone and antibiotics, growth promoting antibiotics. And that stuff looks twice as good as our stuff. But all the chefs in Singapore, which were the first chefs that I came across that were buying mine versus the rest of the world, said, man, when America gets let back into the world scene, because when they had mad cow disease, they were banned from supplying veal to a lot of countries, and that's when we got some business overseas. And one day when I heard they were coming back into the playing field, I said, guys, we're going to lose most of you because they're so much cheaper than we are. And the good ones said, nobody grows veal the way you West Australians do. We will still be dealing with you because the stuff from Europe and America is like it's blown up like a balloon, shrinks in the pan, it's got no flavour. And so there's huge stories behind the scenes. The other one that it touches, Steve, if I'm not too naughty talking about other products, is your mum and my mum grew up feeding us on chickens.
Yes.
The chicken was used for eggs, but also for roasting and broth and everything. Well, the modern chickens are hopeless. All the modern chickens are the rubbish chickens 5.5 weeks old.
Yep.
The free-range chicken 7.5 weeks old. And the certified organic chickens 9.5 weeks old. Yeah, mum would grow a chicken in the backyard for 15 weeks before she slaughtered it. So now, if ever you got a chance to buy really cheap boiling chickens, they are the original, the absolute original breeds that the old folks used to do eggs and meat. And they are so cheap and tasty, just that they're not tender, because they usually spend a year laying eggs. And you make coq au vin with that, or you make broth Italian style with the polpettini. And man, oh man, that's food, and that's what's happening with my veal. People know it's expensive, but they know it's natural. It's not white as snow. It's just this beautiful pink to white, and changes from spring to summer depending on how the temperatures are going and the wind is blowing and the calves are happy. And you know, if something organic didn't need to eat something organic, then maybe we wouldn't have had to kill things, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the world is a pecking order, and meat is part of that, and as long as it's humanely grown and humanely slaughtered, and we use nose-to-tail attitude, which most Europeans did because they were so poor, we bought all the cheap stuff and left the rich people to buy the fillet.
Hey, Vince, people still laugh at me because I love tripe and pig's trotters.
Oh, God bless you. I eat them in private, Steve. When I eat pig's trotters, I don't tell anybody. We sit there, me and my wife, quietly, we enjoy ourselves, and we don't even tell the kids. It's embarrassing.
Vince, if I can ask you one last thing before I go, what do other suppliers do? What happens to male calves on dairies then if they're not being sold for veal?
You'll find that a lot of them are just the price of a bullet. If it's not worth growing, and you've got to remember, most of the breeds for milk are not desired by the meat companies.
Yeah.
But they can be in live export, because when you sell a skinny Friesian steer to an overseas country, they'll find great value in it.
Mm.
You follow what I mean?
Yep.
But we who are spoilt with big, plump, European-style breeds, British breeds of meat, and we want lots of muscle, you know, we might look at it and think it just wasn't worthwhile to raise it. We've gone to an age where we fell in love with hormones for too long without realizing what it was doing to our health and society. The public now are starting to be well educated about how we're growing our food, how we're growing our animals, what we're doing. I'd like to think that our kids and our grandkids are going to clean up the food chain that we accidentally allowed to happen between your mum and my mum growing everything in the backyard to us buying everything from a supermarket and a store that doesn't care what they put into it. All they need to do is make a living.
Vince, I love your passion. I really appreciate your time, and I'm going to have to get over and check out this fantastic butcher shop of yours one day.
Look forward to meeting you in Perth, and I'll look after you 100%. We're known for hospitality in the West. Send over your football teams. We'll give them a run for their money.
Good on you, Vince. That's Vince Gareffa from Mondo Meats. Don't you love an old-fashioned artisan that's passionate about his work? 13 27 10 is the number.